Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the epistle for this Ascension Day from Acts chapter 1. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. In just a few minutes, we'll be singing a hymn which has a stanza which expresses the meaning of Christ's ascension as well as anything I've ever read. The hymn was written by Christopher Wordsworth, who happens to be the nephew of the well-known poet William Wordsworth. Of course, as we hear the words and later sing them, we do need to remember that when Bishop Wordsworth wrote these words way back in the 19th century during the reign of Queen Victoria, it was a time when English-speaking people still understood that the word man includes all human beings, both male and female. And this is what Wordsworth wrote. Addressing the ascended Lord, he says, "Thou hast raised our human nature on the clouds to God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places. There with thee in glory stand. Jesus reigns adored by angels. Man with God is on the throne. Mighty Lord, in thine ascension, we by faith behold our own. Jesus reigns, adored by angels. Man with God is on the throne. The humanity God's Son took upon himself in the womb of Mary, he has never put aside. And in his ascension, as on this day, he carries that humanity, the same humanity that is yours and mine, into the very presence of God. God came down to earth so that you and I might ascend to heaven. God came down to earth. That's the cause of our joy at Christmas, that we might ascend to heaven. That is the cause of our joy on Ascension Day, that where he is, we might also be and reign with him in glory." Well, people are still drawn to church at Christmas, but not so much anymore on Ascension Day. In fact, there are large parts of the church which have, as it were, thrown in the towel and said, "Well, we'll keep it the following Sunday." There are many reasons for the neglect of Ascension Day, but I suspect that at least one of the reasons is this. At Christmas, we are dealing with the familiar stuff of human life, an infant and his mother. And can there be anything more wonderfully human than a baby? That you and I can readily imagine and understand. But when it comes to Jesus' ascension, we here face mysteries which the mind of man cannot fully fathom, nor words ever fully express. And what are then these mysteries? First of all, there is the mystery of Jesus' risen body, in which he appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, to assure them of his triumph over death and the grave. The very same body which was born of Mary, which was nailed to the cross, and then buried in the garden tomb. That same body, but now risen from the dead, wonderfully changed and glorified. And secondly, there is the mystery of that risen body lifted up and received into glory, signaled by the cloud which removed Jesus from his disciples' sight. The cloud which to devout Jews like our Lord's disciples would bring to mind the cloud that rested on the tabernacle during the wilderness wanderings after the Exodus from Egypt, the cloud that later rested on the temple of King Solomon at Jerusalem, that cloud which both veiled and revealed the gracious presence of God. Both of these mysteries, the mystery of Jesus' risen body and the mystery of that body lifted up and received into glory, are both of them mysteries beyond human understanding. Mysteries which finally require not so much interpretation or explanation, certainly not faithless explaining away by our obtuse and earthborn bound minds, but rather the simplicity of faith, wonder and awe, reverence, adoration, and contemplation of the astonishing love of God, which is known in both mysteries. For that is finally what our Lord's ascension, as indeed all the great feasts of the church year, reveal to us: the astonishing love of God, who fully shared our life so that you and I might finally fully share in his. In one of the church's ancient and beautiful prayers, we speak of how in his love God wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully renewed the dignity of human nature. Wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature, the dignity, the surpassing worth of human nature. And in a world where there is so much that is depressing and degrading, where human life so often seems so cheap, so sordid, so brutal, the ascension of Jesus speaks of the wonderful dignity of human nature as created and loved by God and destined for glory. Descending into the very depths of fallen humanity with all its brokenness and pain, its degradation, bearing in his own precious body the terrible violence done by God's human creatures to one another from the dawn of the human story until its end, and then descending into death, the eternal Son of God then rises from the dead in his body made glorious, and as on this day enters into the very presence of God as head of that body of which you and I are through baptism members. Jesus enters into God's presence as our forerunner, as the pledge and the guarantee of our own ascension. Thou hast raised our human nature on the clouds to God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places. There with thee in glory stand. Jesus reigns, adored by angels. Man with God is on the throne. Mighty Lord, in thine ascension, we by faith behold our own. And to our risen and ascended Lord, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.